Good afternoon. We have just agreed on a readiness action plan to strengthen NATO's collective defense. This is a demonstration of our solidarity and our resolve. The security environment we face is more unpredictable than ever. Russia is attacking Ukraine. Violent extremists are rising in the Middle East. Instability is growing in North Africa. In these turbulent times, NATO must be prepared to undertake the full range of missions and to defend allies against the full range of threats. We have already taken immediate steps to enhance our defense. Today, we agreed we will maintain continuous presence and activity in the air, on land, and at sea in the eastern part of the alliance on a rotational basis. We already have a NATO response force. This is a multinational force which brings together land, air, maritime, and special operation forces. It can be deployed anywhere in the world for collective defense or crisis management. Today, we agreed to create what I would call a spearhead within our response force, a very high readiness force able to deploy at very short notice. This spearhead will include several thousand land troops ready to deploy within a few days with air, sea, and special forces support. To facilitate reinforcements, we will also establish an appropriate command and control presence in the east of Allied territory. Reception facilities, pre-positioned equipment, supplies, and planners, step up intelligence sharing, upgrade defense plans, and hold more short-notice exercises so that we can deal swiftly and firmly with any threat. This decision sends a clear message. NATO protects all allies at all times, and it sends a clear message to any potential aggressor. Should you even think of attacking one ally, you will be facing the whole alliance. Our readiness action plan is meant to defend NATO countries. It is fully in line with our international commitments, and it will ensure that NATO remains strong, ready, robust, and responsive to meet present and future challenges from wherever they come. Today, we also endorsed a package of 16 priorities that NATO will pursue to ensure it remains robust and ready into the future. This includes an enhanced cyber defense. We agree that cyber attacks can reach a level that threatens the prosperity, security, and stability of our countries and the Euro-Atlantic area. They could harm our modern societies as much as a conventional attack. So today, we declare that cyber defense is part of NATO's core task of collective defense. We also made our partnerships stronger to help build stability in the world. Over the last 20 years, NATO forces have gone into action alongside partner nations, time and again, at sea off the Horn of Africa, in the skies over Libya, on land in Bosnia, Kosovo, and Afghanistan. We have learned the hard way how to work together. We need to keep those skills as our largest operation in Afghanistan draws to a conclusion. So we will offer our partner countries more opportunities to work and train with us so that we can remain effective when we deploy and tackle security challenges together. We have also decided to launch a defense capacity building initiative to reinforce our commitment to partner nations and to help the alliance project stability without deploying large combat forces. This builds on our extensive expertise in supporting, advising, and assisting nations with defense and security reforms. Building on our close cooperation and following their requests, we have agreed to extend this initiative to Georgia, Moldova, Jordan, and we reaffirm our readiness to provide security capacity support to Libya when conditions permit. And we stand ready to assist Iraq should Iraq make such a request. Finally, there is one group of partner countries who hold a special relationship with NATO, the countries which aspire to join the alliance once they fill the criteria. The open door policy has been a historic success for NATO. It has allowed us to move towards a Europe whole, free, and at peace. NATO's door remains open. Each country will continue to be judged on its merits. And no third country has a veto over NATO enlargement. Each aspirant has work to do in different areas, and we will give them the support they need. Today, we therefore agreed on a substantive package of measures for Georgia, a substantive package that will help Georgia advance in its preparations towards membership of NATO. And we agreed to open intensified and focused talks on Montenegro's candidacy. We will assess by the end of 2015, at the latest, whether to invite Montenegro to join the alliance. So, with the Readiness Action Plan, improved capability, and our unique set of partners, NATO is able to act swiftly, decisively, and in concert with others. Today, we have decided how to make NATO more ready and better connected. This is the blueprint for NATO of tomorrow. And with that, I'm ready to take your questions.
We start with the German press agency, DPA, over there.
Hello, good afternoon. Christian Böhmer, German press agency. You mentioned, Secretary General, the aggressive behavior of Russia. I would like to know if all 28 allies still stick to the NATO-Russia Founding Act from 1997. And could you give us, please, a flavor of the discussion on this topic of the discussions on this topic yesterday at the dinner and today at the NEC. Thank you very much.
In today's meeting and during our discussions, we have reaffirmed our commitment to what we call a rules-based security architecture in Europe. We strongly believe in that rules-based system. And there is a broad agreement on that, and we urge Russia to live up to her commitments within that rules-based security system in Europe. And we haven't taken any decision to walk away from the NATO-Russia Founding Act. We stick to the principles of that Founding Act, while it's clear that Russia has gravely violated the fundamental principles of that joint NATO-Russia document.
Reuters.
Mr. Secretary General, what has NATO agreed to do to help Iraq in its fight against Islamic State? And if I could also ask another question, is Poland happy with the readiness action plan you've agreed, or does it fall short of their expectations?
On the latter, Poland has expressed great satisfaction with the readiness action plan, and all other allies did exactly the same. There is really a very broad support for this readiness action plan. We are sure that this readiness action plan is well suited to address the dramatically changed security environment in Europe. On Iraq, we have actually had very thorough discussions on the situation, not only in Eastern Europe, but also to the southeast in Syria and in Iraq. And there are two tracks of work here. One is a track pursued by a number of individual allies that are determined to take the necessary steps to help Iraq to stop the advance of the terrorist organization Islamic State. And I warmly welcome that. I think the international community has an obligation to do all it can to stop this dangerous terrorist organization. The other track is the NATO track, and we have decided that if we receive a request from the Iraqi government, we are ready to consider a defense capacity building mission in Iraq. What that will be in concrete terms remains to be seen, and of course it will very much depend on the Iraqi request if we were to receive such an Iraqi request. But let me remind you that until 2011, NATO had a training mission in Iraq. So actually we do have quite some experience in the field of defense capacity building in Iraq. We have also decided that NATO can play a coordinating role when it comes to the coordination of efforts carried out by individual nations, for instance, coordination of airlift. And finally, I would also mention that we have decided to enhance cooperation in exchanging information on returning foreign fighters. The issue of returning foreign fighters is really a matter of concern from a security point of view, and this is the reason why we have decided to enhance exchange of information.
BBC.
Jonathan Beale from BBC. Secretary General, could you tell us a bit more about the makeup of this spearhead force and which countries are willing to host these forward operating bases? And then just a quick question afterwards on Iraq. You said the NATO, the alliance, is ready to to assist the Iraqis. How far would that assistance go? Are you just talking about training there, or could it include, for example, if the request came, for airstrikes?
As you know, the Iraqi government has requested assistance from a number of individual allies, and I welcome that the United States have taken military action to stop the advance of this terrorist organization, the Islamic State. I welcome that other allies have contributed in different ways to help Iraq. There has been no request for NATO involvement in such military actions. So what we have focused on in our discussions is this issue of defense capacity building, provided that we receive such a request from the Iraqi government. Now, on the spearhead force, all the military details will be worked out after the summit, but actually work has already started. Let me stress that implementation will start immediately. it also remains to be seen exactly where the reception facilities will be located. But so far, I have noted indications from the Baltic states, from Poland, from Romania, that they are willing to host such reception facilities.
NPR? Lady in red over there.
Thank you. Terry Schultz with National Public Radio and CBS News. Mr. Secretary General, with the new capabilities that NATO is now forming, you said they would be able to deploy anywhere in the world. And with the other issue that has sort of co-dominated the summit here, is there any way that NATO's enhanced capabilities can help in the fight against the Islamic State, not just if the government of Iraq asks for help, but right now in the threat to NATO citizens from these terrorists? Thank you.
Now, you mentioned threats directed at NATO populations. I mentioned the decision to enhance exchange of information. That's one very concrete step to take. We haven't discussed a NATO involvement in direct military operations in Iraq. As I mentioned, we haven't received a request. We are aware of discussions among individual allies, and actually they have also used NATO as a forum for those consultations and those discussions. And as I mentioned, I welcome such steps taken and to be taken by individual allies. So, in short, as far as NATO is concerned, we have focused on defense capacity building.
Georgian media over there.
Thank you. Georgian TV Maestro Sofia Zarabiani. Secretary General, just was Defense Minister plus five Walmart. Could you give us some more details? What's the new status for Georgia in the group of Sweden, Jordan, Finland, and Australia? And also, today's Ukraine in 2008, Georgia. How strong is signal sending from NATO to Russia today from this summit?
On the meeting with the five partners that are interested in what we call enhanced opportunities, I can tell you that Georgia's participation in that group represents an acknowledgement of the progress Georgia has made in its relationship with NATO. Georgia wants to further improve its ability to work and operate with NATO forces. Georgia has already made remarkable steps in that direction, but more could be done. I'm pleased that Georgia accepted the invitation to participate in that selected group of nations that want a particular close relationship with NATO. So there is clearly a political dimension, a demonstration of or an acknowledgement of the progress Georgia has made. But of course, there is also a very concrete dimension that Georgia's participation in that group will step up Georgia's practical military cooperation with NATO. I think the decision we have taken today prepare a readiness action plan sends a very, very clear message to Russia that we are strongly determined to take all steps necessary to provide effective protection and defense of our allies. And in the light of the current security situation, I find it appropriate that as a result of this readiness action plan, you will see more visible NATO presence in the East. I think that sends a very clear message to Moscow.
Thank you very much.